アロハみんなみんなみんなガロハみんなみんなみんなガロハみんなみんなみんなガロハみんなみんな
This is the Good Fire Podcast. Stories of indigenous fire stewardship, cultural empowerment, and environmental integrity.Hey everybody, welcome to Good Fire. My name is Matthew Christoph.
And I'm Amy Cardinal Christensen, and we're here to share stories of Indigenous fire stewardship.
So over the next few episodes, we're going to be talking with Indigenous researchers and Indigenous fire practitioners about what they're doing and how they're trying to get Indigenous burning back on the land.
So this podcast is sponsored by the Canadian Partnership for Wildland Fire Science, with support from the California Indian Water Commission and the Fire Sticks Alliance Indigenous Corporation.
So today's episode is another Indigenous fire story, although this one's not so much a story as it is a fire debrief. So at the Interior Firekeepers Workshop, they actually did a cultural burn. And after the cultural burn, they came back inside and they did a debrief. This is Pierre Kruger, the gentleman who did the first fire story that we released on here. And this is him debriefing on the fire and just discussing what he would have done differently and that kind of stuff. It's actually another really interesting perspective and another really interesting story. So you guys will like it. It is really good. Definitely check it out. Again, audio is not the best. Definitely you can understand what's going on though, and it's worth your time. Please check it out. And yeah, come back next week for more research, more discussions around cultural burning and how we can get it back on the land. So here we go. Here's Pierre.
I have a bad habit of being a day late and a dollar short. But today, outside, if I was doing that, I'd have brought my own tools. The way they did it today was, and I wouldn't have burned today because it wouldn't have been dry enough to burn. I'd have waited a couple more days because we touched the weeds and grass when we have to burn. And that's why every year is different. Because of the winter we had this year, our window for spring burning will be very short. So, but in a short time, if you know what you're doing, you can cover a huge area. And if I was doing outside here, I'd have did a clean burn. All the grass and stuff would be burnt. It wouldn't be sparsely, some left. Everything would be burnt. And all the bigger trees, before we even lit a match, all the duff would have been dug around it. And if my mother was here, she'd have told the firefighters or whatever to don't stand around. Do something. Here's what you can do. Here's what you can do. But because we're trying to create this togetherness, you know, I ain't gonna act like my mother yet, because that's part of my responsibility is also you go this, do this, you go do this, because doing a burn, nobody stands around. We all got something to do, and when we are been taught, everybody gets a chance at everything, then you're put where you're the best at. That's how our people did it with our people. If you're good over in this area, that's what you where you are. Some people be good over here, some people be good over here. So we're all given the chance to prove what we can do. And whatever we were good at, that's where we were put. And a long time ago, when we burnt up whole mountains, people thought we just lit the match. But a long time ago, whole communities were involved. When we line up, we all have a drum that's just made for herding the animals. We line up, depends on how sick the terrain is. If we walk or we run or we trot. Now, me and my brother used to run 115 miles a day. So just think about our great-great-grandfathers and grandmothers probably could run 150 miles a day with an 80-pound pack. Our people a long time ago were in really good shape. So they'd line up, say we're going to burn the mountain from Princeton to here. We'd line up the Manon Park just to Penticton. Then the people would beat the drums. They'd come over the mountains like this. They'd be herding out the bears, the moose, the elk, the deer, and all that are four-legged critters. And because animals do communicate, once that starts, all the little insects and all the other stuff will leave the area. The fish will evacuate the streams they're in because they know. And a long time ago, we used to be able to communicate with our animals. We used to be able to talk to them. So when we did up huge mountains, it's a fire's keeper responsibility to make everything, sure everything's taken care of. And the first responsibility for a firekeeper is safety. So today, people are scared. A firekeeper had no guidelines, no regulations. Now, if me and my family came to burn that, what we did today, you wouldn't see no piss cans or fire hoses or plaskies. We'd have rakes, weed eaters. We have our tools of our trade, and we know what we're doing. For all the years I've been doing this, my mother, my father, my uncles, my aunties, we never lost a fire yet. The fire never got away from us. So, I really hope that, you know, the firefighters, the wildfire little groups, I really hope they listen. Utilize us, our knowledge, and what we do. Some of just listening to what has been said, some of our people had their own little mushroom patches. I burn over here 1 year, burn over here next year, burn over there. Our people ate a lot of morels a long time ago. Pine mushrooms. some of our people created their own little pine gardens and the berries. Fire was very keen on our berries. We really need the fire to control the males. If a male dominates a berry patch and it's not burned, that area is no good for at least 20 years. Because the males will slowly go till they die off. Then 7 years after being dormant, the females will come back. So where we used to have berries, they could be still there. They will come back. A little fire kicks their seeds in the ground, waiting for a fire to go by. And we have a responsibility. Our people used to eat a lot of our berries, roots, fish. When I was a kid, me and my brothers, we ate our food. We were a little stronger than the rest of the kids in the family because we ate our food. And I used to think we're poor because we didn't have pork chops, we didn't have beef steaks, we didn't have canned milk, we didn't have this and that. But we always outran. We were stronger, outswam the rest of the kids. That's why me and my younger brother, we could run 115 miles a day. Today I couldn't even run from here to outside. But that's the reason for that. We get hurt once in a while. They said I'd never walk again, but I'm walking. They told my mother the same thing. And that's where I said, if my mother can do it, so can I. So sometimes we need to look in our families. He did it. She did it. Well, I can do it too because he did it or she did it. Sometimes we need to grab hold of somebody in our family to give us the strength to do what we have to do. And I'm very proud of the people that are here today, and especially the young ones. You know, and I am open to teach people who really care for our mother. So we just don't teach anybody everything because we have a responsibility. If someone knew what I know, or any of my family knows, they could be billionaires within 2 years because they'd exploit our knowledge. So hopefully, as we slowly teach each other, as they slowly accept us for who we are, because we need to clean up our mother. We need to be able, these young guys, to be able to go up there and drink out any stream up there. When I was little like them, I could. The elder said, you don't drink out of this stream. Why? Because there's uranium in there. I said, now watch, you sit here all day long, 2 days, 3 days, and you tell me how many cows will come to the stream and drink. Sometimes there a whole week, no cows. Then my mother and say, you know, cows are the dumbest animals around, but they do not drink out of that stream because they know it's poison. Now, we were taught how to touch our water. Touch it with your tongue or your lip. If it starts tingling or going numb, you don't drink that water. So this is the kind of stuff fire keepers are responsible for. We have to know which creeks, which streams are drinkable. We pass that on to our people. If we find a bad stream, it's our responsibility to let everybody know, even the Samas, because we all have a right to live. So, if we do another day of burning, I hope it would, you know, we'd have a little more control. I'd bring my tools up. And, you know, people need to see. Like, I've had a couple of rakes here today. The firefighters would have seen a big difference a couple of rakes would do for them too. How to help them. So I don't know how much time I have because I like to talk. But it is a good day for me. And I thought yesterday was my today and today was my tomorrow, but as a whole, had my calendar marked wrong, so that's why I said I'm a whole day late, dollar short. And being serious, as a firekeeper, my tufa could make it rain within a minute. My dad, it would take my dad 5 minutes. My mother, maybe 20 minutes. For me, sometimes it'll rain right now. Sometimes it'll take 4 or 5 hours, 6 hours. But this is in all of us. We all have it in our blood. My dad used to tell us, all we have to do is open those doors. So, and I'm serious, but people who want to learn. And I tell my elders, and some of our medicine people, I tell them, I know a little bit. But if we take a whole bunch of me, 100 of me that know a little bit on the weather, imagine what we could do with the weather. My mother, we went to Victoria. My mother had a 100-foot circle around us. It rained. The only place it didn't rain was where we walked, and people would be looking at us. Some of them were calling us the devils. But that was my mother. She took care of us. It was pouring rain, but none of us got wet till after our demonstration was. Then we got soaked. With that, I'll just leave that there, and I'm all open to invites. So I'm not bound by any regulations or whatever. So if you want to listen, I will talk and talk. Okay, bye. Go, go.
Thanks a lot for listening, guys. This podcast was produced by me, Matthew Christoph, and I have an environmental sciences podcast called Your Forest. And if you like Good Fire, you'll definitely like Your Forest. Please check it out on Apple, Google, Spotify, and Stitcher. And I hope you guys like it. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks a lot for listening. Take it easy.